things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hello!
Hi, Taylor!
Hi, Jenny.
What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. We just spent some time on Spotify, on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Discussing King Henry VIII's six wives.
Uh-huh.
And their unfortunate demises, respectively.
Yep. He went through them fast.
Boy, he just really knew how to kill a wife, didn't he?
Yep. Politically.
Yeah.
Just put her up there for the jury to be like, no more.
No, not at all. But this episode isn't about King Henry VIII, is it?
No, we are telling folklore stories today.
This is quickly becoming my favorite category.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Would you put it above or below disasters?
You know, tornadoes have a place in my heart.
I know, but if you think of disasters as like a broader term than just tornadoes.
But that's my favorite disaster.
I know it is.
Don't make me choose. I can't.
Okay. All right.
Cool. I love them all.
Cool, cool, cool. I'm glad that this gives you so much joy. Because it's probably like on my lower end of like the things that give me joy.
Oh, really?
It's because it's not...
factual.
Facts.
It's... Oh, my God.
Where they're like a disaster I can... put in a place and a time.
Yeah, there's statistics.
You look so
a timeline.
Bored of me right now.
You and your facts.
I understand. Listen, I am very excited to tell you the story today, but mostly because I knew what you were gonna tell me today, so I was like, I'm gonna go the opposite end of the spectrum.
You are very love and light in this story today.
Yes, today.
And boy,
asterisks today.
Boy, am I not.
Right. So we felt like we would give you a little bit of yin and yang, a little bit of dark and light today.
As is how we do on our podcast, A Little Bit Grim.
Welcome. If you have stumbled around on the internet and accidentally found us.
Welcome.
Heller.
Also, kind of sorry if you don't like dark, terrible, twisty things.
Probably go now.
Yeah. This one isn't going to be the darkest and twistiest.
No.
But
this might actually be a good episode if you're brand new here.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, listen to this one.
Yeah, listen to Taylor's portion. It'll be a very good...
And I'm going first.
Yeah.
So,
you know. Just cut off when it gets to me.
But don't, because I know what you're going to tell me is going to be amazing.
I've been promising this.
Since episode one,
literally,
I think.
Episode one, I mentioned it, I think, and I've mentioned it, like... at least once an episode since then.
I think every other episode, Jenny has brought this specific folklore character up. So
my heart is beating so fast. All but right. First, yours.
Yes, and we're going to just jump right on in because I know that this is about to be a doozy.
It's going to be a long doozy episode. I hope you have a long ride to work or a long bubble bath.
100%. So let's get started. I'm going to be telling you the tale of... the goddess of the spring and the summer. Persephone!
Yeah!
Yay!
She's our favorite, really good representation of, like, dark and light.
Yeah! So, I thought she would be the perfect intro into folklore today.
She's a real good one.
Yeah. Okay, so Persephone is the daughter of Demeter, who is the goddess of agriculture, fertility, sacred law, and the harvest, and the daughter of Zeus. Whore of Mount Olympus.
We're not trying to, like, shame Zeus or anything, but my God.
I am trying to shame Zeus. Dude could not keep it in his pants.
Listen, those Greek gods...
single-handedly created the rest of the gods from his own seed. Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Okay. All right. Me and Zeus have our beef, but that's fine.
You take it up with Zeus.
Yeah. Okay. So in Greek art, Persephone is normally portrayed robed, often carrying a sheaf of grain. She may appear as a mystical divinity with a scepter and little box, but she is mostly represented in the process of being carried off by the one, the only Hades.
I love him.
I know. And it's very against, like, the rest of my personality to hate... like
the good guy.
Zeus, the good guy, and absolutely love
Or antagonist.
Or, yeah, that is not normally my... It's not my type.
You need to watch Dexter.
I do need to watch Dexter. I've never seen it.
If you are a big fan of, like, the protagonist of a story actually being the bad guy...
Okay.
Dexter is the show for you.
I take it back. I'm gonna walk myself back a little bit. I love...
A bad boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. I retract my previous statement. This is very on brand for me.
We really took a 180.
We just gonna go ahead and turn that right around.
Just kidding. We love Hades.
Yes. Okay. So I was actually surprised that she would be depicted carrying a little box, because if I were just like walking around a museum of Greek goddesses, I'd be like, what up, Pandora? I'm confused as to why Persephone would have a little box, but whatever. She is known as the goddess of the spring and summer, as well as the goddess of the underworld. Mm. So she definitely represents both sides of the spectrum, the light and the dark. So her story really revolves around her abduction by Hades. So that's really what we're pretty much going to talk about today, how that happened. Sometimes it is referred to as the Rape of Persephone. And I remember being like a little teeny bopper, being super interested in Greek mythology and Norse mythology and all of those tales, and being just completely flabbergasted by this like thrown around term of the Rape of Persephone.
Planned it pretty fast and loose.
I was like, the term. I'm confused. Because she falls in love with him.
It's Stockholm Syndrome!
Yeah. Okay. So it is told in detail in the Homeric Hymn to Demeter. Demeter and Persephone are super close as mother and daughter. They are BFF forever. And Hades pops up from the underworld in one of his super rare, like, walks among Earth. He does not do this very often, but this one special time that he does, he gets a little glimpse of Persephone and completely falls in love with her. And he wants to take her to the underworld to be his bride. And Zeus had told Hades previously that he could pick any of his daughters to be his bride when the time came. Which Zeus was like, I've got 75 million of them. Like, just pick one. Of course he picks the one whose mom will go absolutely ballistic at the idea of her daughter going to the underworld.
Of course.
Absolutely not.
That's how it works.
Okay.
Greek drama.
They do drama very well.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Pathos and Eros.
Yeah. Okay, so Zeus knew that there was absolutely no way in hell Demeter was going to be going to go for this.
No way in hell?
He knew that Demeter was not going to go for this. So, Zeus, this fucking idiot, decides that he and Hades are just going to come up with this like a little plan.
Just a smallish plot.
Just like... we're just gonna hatch this little plan here. And he just gives Hades to just go ahead and take her. Gives permission to take her. Like, just go ahead and...
He's like, which one's Persephone? The blonde?
Right.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't remember. Demeter left Persephone to play in a meadow, or in, like, near the... There's a river near the sea nymphs, or freshwater nymphs, while Demeter checked on her crops. So picture a little Miss Persephone out playing, hanging out with her sea nymphs. And Zeus, meanwhile, had asked Gaia, Mother Earth, to grow a flower so beautiful that Persephone would not be able to resist picking it. So Gaia grew a narcissus flower. And when Persephone saw it, she went to go get a closer look. She asked the sea nymphs to come with her, but of course they couldn't. They would risk their death by leaving the water.
Who asks a sea nymph to look at a flower? You have a forest filled with fae.
Listen.
All right.
I don't
Persephone,
make the rules.
Persephone, very beautiful. Maybe not the smartest.
Maybe a little dingling.
Yeah. That's fine. You can be a dingling.
All right. So out of all her friends, the one nymph, Cyane, that's what we're going to go with. That's what YouTube told me was going to be the pronunciation here.
Cyane.
Tried to rescue Persephone, because at this point, when she went to go pick up the flower, the earth opened up and Hades popped out like an evil dandelion.
Yo, what up, girl?
And
you walk with them legs?
Oh my god. Literally dragged her to hell. So Cyane is like, ah, my girl, my Persephone. Oh no. So
hanging out the side of your best friend's trying to holler at me.
Yeah, freaking this turned 80s. Real 1990s.
Oh god. It's reimagined.
Yeah. Okay, so out of all of her friends, only the nymph Cyane tried to rescue the crying Persephone, but she was no match for the powerful Hades. Bereaving her friend's kidnap, Cyane melted into a pool of tears and formed the river Cyane on the spot.
It's fucking drama.
Yep. That would have been like little baby 14-year-old Taylor immediately.
Listen.
If I could have melted myself into a river when I was 14, I 100% would have done that.
I just, it's so accurate. I have to laugh. Yes. Poor dramatic poetry writing Taylor.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
If my tears pooled and created a pond of sorrow.
If any of you had to put up with me when I was 14, Laura, I'm so sorry.
We love you, Laura.
We love you. I was so dramatic. I take it all back. All right. Nobody could tell Demeter anything at all about what happened to her daughter, Persephone, because the one that actually saw what happened had turned herself into a river. So,
way to go. Yeah. What a terrible material witness.
Yep. Bad.
Thanks, Cyane.
So, she was so furious at the rest of the nymphs that they could not protect her daughter that she cursed all of them into becoming heinous women with plumed bodies and scaly feet and called them sirens.
Ah.
And I was fascinated by this.
The birth of the sirens.
The birth of the sirens. It was only the river Cyane who helped Demeter at all by washing over the belt of Persephone, indicating that something gravely wrong had happened. Demeter searches everywhere for her with the help of Hecate.
Or Heket in Egyptian mythology.
Who is the witch goddess. She roams the earth with torches to look for Persephone. Some legends say that Demeter forgot her duties as a goddess, while in other tales she purposefully tells the earth not to produce.
That's the tale that I am the most familiar with. So okay. On the Wiccan Wheel of the Year, there are three harvest festivals, and one of which is Demeter in all of her sorrow cursed the land to never produce.
All right.
So.
Perfect. So there were definitely a lot of legends that I read that said that she, out of spite and sorrow, like cursed the land into not producing. And there was also quite a handful that said like she just forgot her duties. She was so bereft with grief.
Yeah.
That she just
forgot that she had to make things grow.
Yeah. She was just like, I don't know about you guys. I got my daughter to find.
It's not like she's looking at her planner and be like, oh, sprout the corn today.
Right. So Helios, the sun god, sees everything and tells Demeter what had happened to Persephone. Zeus, I just picture him being like on the top of his mountain and being absolutely verbally assaulted by Demeter.
Yeah.
She like rips him a whole new asshole.
And the balls.
Yep. The mortals are also starving.
Because
they don't have any food.
Because Demeter's not doing her damn job.
Right. So Zeus, being verbally assaulted by Demeter and like hearing all the cries from the mortals, decides to send Hermes down to the underworld to retrieve Persephone.
Fucking Hermes.
I know.
He's perpetually on my nerves in every single story. He's just full of chaos.
I just feel bad for him because he's always like on these errands that he has nothing to do with.
Well, that's what he does. Did you know that the postal service, you know, the winged boot?
Yeah.
Is the symbol of Hermes.
Yeah.
Hermes. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Persephone had actually grown to like the underworld and even Hades. While she was down there, there are a few different like legends here. Some say that she found a pomegranate and ate some of the seeds. Some say Hades tricked her into eating some of the pomegranate seeds. But either way, if you eat the food
of the underworld,
or your captor, you are required to stay with them.
You are bound henceforth to the underworld. I always heard that she ate willingly 7 pomegranate seeds.
So the stories that I read, some say 1 and some say 6 seeds. ancient law says that if you eat the food of your captor, you have to return to them. Because she had tasted the food from the underworld, she was forced to stay there. Zeus and Hades had compromised and said that she would be there for a portion of the year. Some tales say 3 months, some say 6 months, but either way, this is how we get the changes of our seasons. Persephone represents duality, being both the goddess of the underworld and the goddess of fertility, and she also represents the changing of seasons, the dark, cold months when Demeter is without her daughter, and then the warm, fertile months represent the reunion of Demeter and Persephone. And that is what I've got for you for the tale of Persephone.
It's so beautiful. I love how there's so much mythology about bringing in the balance of light and dark and good and bad. And it's funny that you briefly mentioned Hecate, because mm-hmm. she is my favorite. She is the goddess of witchcraft mm-hmm. and so much more. But she's often referred to as the distant one, because she kind of like outwardly revolves in these stories, mm-hmm. but she is the embodiment of the balance. Okay. Whereas Demeter and Persephone are one on either side, and Hecate is kind of like the fulcrum of the balance between the two.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love that. Beautifully yeah. done, Taylor.
Oh, thank you. I know it was short and sweet, but I know you had a lot to tell me today, so I wanted to keep it on the DL.
I appreciate that.
So many crazy stories, so little time. In this podcast, we'll do the work. We'll find the craziest, best stories out there and bring them to you every week. Hopefully, this will help you get through the craziness that is going on in the world. And of course, there will be booze. Welcome to Booze and Bullshit.
Future Taylor, insert a clap of thunder here.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Because it's about to take a little bit of a darker turn.
All right.
And I'm just going to go ahead and put a little disclaimer on this. There is going to be a lot of discussion of a lot of different creation stories.
Okay.
And I know religion and faith is something that everybody holds very personally mm-hmm. in their heart. And I'm just painting a picture of every interpretation of this creation story of
Lilith. Drum roll. I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. There's a lot of information that I'm going to cover mm-hmm. and I just don't want anybody to get up in arms, and I'm going to cover a lot.
We're not purposefully coming for anybody's personal religion.
No.
We know that there are good people and bad people in every single religion, and it is just how you take that religion onto yourself, how you represent it.
Correct.
So
there are good people and bad people despite everywhere. Your ideology.
Yep.
And this is going to be a great example of how many religions kind of demonize this one character.
Interesting.
So I'm going to start with a little bit of a excerpt.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
After heaven and earth had been separated and mankind had been created, after Anu and Lil and Ereshkigal had taken possession of heaven, earth, and the underworld, after Enki had set sail for the underworld and the sea ebbed and flowed in honor of its lord, on this day a halupa tree, which had been planted on the bank of the Euphrates that nourished by its water, was uprooted by the south wind and carried away by the Euphrates. A goddess who was wandering along the bank sees the swaying tree and, at the behest of Anu and Enlil, brought it to Inanna's garden in Uruk. Inanna tended the tree carefully and lovingly. She hoped to have a throne and a bed made for herself from its wood. After 10 years, the tree had matured, but in the meantime, she found to her dismay that her hopes could not be fulfilled, because during that time, a dragon had built its nest at the foot of the tree. The zoobird was raising its young in the crown, and the demon Lilith had built her house in the middle. But Gilgamesh, who had heard of Inanna's plight, came to her rescue. He took his heavy shield, killed the dragon with his gigantic bronze axe, which weighed 7 talents and 7 minas. Then the zoo bird flew into the mountains with its young, while Lilith, petrified with fear, tore down her house and fled into the wilderness. Hmm. So this is a translation of text based on copies which were prepared from an original draft sometime during the Eason Larsa period, which is 1950 to 1700 BC. The original itself is much older. It's believed to date from the 40th BC from, if you didn't recognize it, the Epic of Gilgamesh. Lilith has many names. She is the mother of demons. She is Satan's first wife, the Queen of the Night. Her legend is ancient, and she precedes Judaism by at least 2 millennia.
Old.
If you don't know, the Epic of Gilgamesh is like an old Assyrian. It is the oldest period text we have.
In the good old Buffy and Angel. I'm just going to bring it current.
Yeah, come on.
They literally just call the demons of this era the old ones.
Yeah.
And they like go into like a lot of this kind of world and like the demons that would have ruled the earth at this time. And yeah, they call them the old ones.
This is like the pinpoint of when societies became to become like society, like Mesopotamia, and the first little blip of humanity in folklore instead of like disjointed mm-hmm. groups of people. Her story was born in tandem with humanity's first civilization, Mesopotamia. Tales of her horrors spread alongside newly cultivated societies into Arabia and the wider Middle East, each variation taking on a different flavor of her wicked ways, but all maintaining the same core, that she's a demon born out of darkness and void, and she is older than time, and she deserves every ounce of terror that your soul can give her. She will take your life and everything that you love, and she's pretty fucking metal.
Great.
The first written record of Lilith, mother of demons, chronologically speaking, is found in a Sumerian king list circa 2400 BC.
I can't picture that number.
Yeah, negative.
Negative a lot.
Negative. Farther away from like zero than we are now. Like, if you think about it as like a timeline, your eye is twitching. Okay. So the list states that because it really is just like a roster of all the kings that have ever been.
I love that.
Yeah. The list states that the father of the great hero Gilgamesh was a Lilu demon.
Okay.
So Lilu demons were one of four demon types thought to be descended from Lilith. Today, historians categorize all four demon types as being in the vampire succubi class. However, Gilgamesh kills the servant with his sword, and then the frightened Lilith, she tore down her house. She fled. The Anzu bird flew to the mountains mm-hmm. with its baby. And it's clear from this tale that the maid Lilith, the serpent, and the Anzu bird are intimately linked. So the Lilu...
They're all in cahoots.
They're all in cahoots together, these guys. The Lilus are, that class of demon, are depicted as winged creatures of the night.
Sweet.
So frequently when Lilith is depicted, she is a winged, like a bat.
I'm going to tell you right now that the only thing that I know about Lilith before we're about to get all into this is True Blood when...
She comes out of the blood
she
puddle.
She comes out of the blood puddle, and then we have Billith. That's all I know.
Nothing good has ever arisen out of a puddle of blood.
No.
Mm-mm. No. So these three, the Lilith, the serpent, and the Anzu bird are, or the Zoo bird, as it's sometimes called. It's a dragon.
Oh, sweet. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. These three represent various aspects of a single creature. Kind of like, think about the opposite side of the Holy Trinity.
All right.
It is the physical body. The dark maid Lilith represents the spirit, and the Anzu bird, the dragon, and its young represent, because it and its baby flood the tree, and that represents the creature's reproductive capabilities and seed and virility.
Okay.
You're about to find out that this symbolism is harmonious with the Jewish teachings on Lilith. And the popularity of her legend in Mesopotamia in the following centuries is documented by numerous archaeological discoveries of Babylonian terracotta depictions of her, which date from 1500 to 1750 BC. It was during the same era that Israel was born from Egypt and Moses wrote the first five books of what we now know as the Bible, aka the Torah, the first bit of the Old Testament. Moses, being a pretty unoriginal guy, regurgitates the same ancient root story of Lilith as the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Okay.
Because, as we've discussed before, really all of the creation stories tell the same.
Are the same.
There are seven key similarities Moses taps into with this story. He writes of a woman co-created with Adam, but who is animated by a defiling mist from the ground. She becomes a serpent of the garden and is associated with the tree of knowledge. She causes Adam and Eve to fall by the eating of the tree. The similarities between Moses' Genesis 1 and 2 and Gilgamesh are unmistakable. Here's just like a handful.
Yeah.
So in Gilgamesh, Lilith's tales take place in Inanna's holy garden, where the tree was planted when it was floating down the Euphrates. In the Bible-y version, the Garden of Eden.
The Bible-y version.
In Gilgamesh, the Hululu tree. The Bible-y version, the Tree of Knowledge.
Yeah, got it.
Gilgamesh links Lilith, the spirit, to a great serpent, the body. This mirrors the serpent of Genesis, who is Lilith. Gilgamesh associates Lilith with the Anzu bird, aka the demon, which flees the garden through flight. This is also an act which the biblical Lilith is said to have done in the Mizrashim of the Torah, which are kind of like footnotes on the Bible to correct any discrepancies. I'll get into that.
All right.
So, in Gilgamesh, three creatures use the Hulupu tree to thwart Inanna from obtaining her glorious throne and bed of rest. It is likewise so in Genesis, where Eve is equated to Inanna, the physical body of the serpent, and the spirit of Lilith and its seed use the tree of knowledge to thwart Eve and achieving her promised glorious throne with God in a place of heaven and a bed of rest, which is how it's phrased in the Bible.
Okay.
Okay, you're blinking a lot. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's a lot of info.
You're talking so fast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
I know. At least, I'm just trying to, the wider I make my eyes, the hope is that I can take in more information faster.
Okay. At least if you're listening to this, you can, rewind it and listen to it again. Or listen, if you have questions, I will talk for this at length. Send me a message.
Send a DM.
Send me a DM. Slide into those DMs. Okay, so the last one I'll say. In Gilgamesh, the great hero slays the serpent, casting Lilith into the deserts. And this is the same when God declares that Eve's promised seed, the Messiah, would crush the head of the serpent and its seed. The prophet Isaiah expounds upon this further. I'm trying to slow down.
Help us. Appreciate that.
He relates. So in Isaiah, he relates that in the end times, the slaying of the serpent seed on Yom Kippur will cast the spirit of Lilith into the desert wilderness of Edom.
Okay.
So Moses is not the only author of the Bible to mention Lilith. In Proverbs, circa 1000 BC, Solomon refers to a female demon named Aluka in a clever riddle. The riddle involves Aluka's ability to curse a womb-bearing seed. Historically, Aluka was closely associated with Lilith, even assumed to be a direct descendant of her. However, the name Aluka may merely be just another title for Lilith. In Isaiah, Lilith makes her only appearance by name in the Bible.
Ooh.
There, Lilith plays a critical role in the end-time judgment of mankind. According to the prophet Isaiah, Lilith is emblematic of all the damned who shall remain in hell, whereas another woman named Isha, the first actual name of Eve,
Translated,
represents all the righteous who shall be delivered unto the kingdom of God.
Okay.
Thus far, a lot of what I've said are ancient historical texts that can be traced and tracked through the sands of time.
I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
Can we go back real quick to the goddess or the god that the demon that cursed wombs, is that right?
Yeah, Aluka.
Yeah. So basically that demon was responsible for women not being able to produce.
It is a yes.
Okay.
Lilith
was supposed to be kind of a demon of procreation and reproduction.
She is it's one of the three core aspects of her.
Okay.
So, yes, it is the evil maiden Lilith, the spirit, and then the Anzu bird and its young represents the fertilization that all built its home in the Hululu tree.
Okay.
So, when Gilgamesh came, he split it into three.
Okay.
So, that ties directly into Aluka, which is a descendant. It's probably just another translation of Lilith, and that'll make more sense in a second.
Okay. It makes sense for people to try to, like, explain why some women wouldn't be able to reproduce.
Or conceive. Which is something that cost a lot of women their lives throughout history.
Absolutely. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was understanding.
Yes. Yep. You are absolutely right. So, if you were raised in the Christian religion,
which many of us in the Midwest were.
I would say, at least if it's not your religion, you're probably familiar with the creation story that Christians are taught. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Right. Eve eats an apple.
Yeah.
That whole chestnut.
Women are evil.
Women are really bad, okay?
They did this to us.
So, you were raised in this, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
You too, listener. Who was Adam's wife?
Eve.
Kinda.
What?
Eve is Adam's second wife.
Okay.
And I'm about to explain. So, in the Babylonian Talmud, Lilith appears as Adam's first wife. Created at the same time, Rosh Hashanah, from the same clay as Adam. Genesis 1:27 reads, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." In Genesis 2:22-23, Moses, who is believed to have written these words directly from God, contradicts himself and writes, "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he slept, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the area with flesh. And from the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought her to him. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, and out of man she was taken.'" If that's not enough to, like, convince mm-hmm. you, here's a couple cross-references to show conflicting account of the creation story. Fair warning, there's a decent amount of misogyny.
Got it.
So, 1 Corinthians 11:8-9 reads, "For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man." And then 1 Timothy 2:13 says, "For Adam was formed first, and then Eve." And just for a little bit of flavor, here's a Kabbalah excerpt regarding the creation story. "In the beginning, the Holy One, blessed be He, created Eve. And she was not flesh, but the scum of the earth and its impure sediments. And she was a harmful spirit. And the Holy One, blessed be He, took her away from Adam and gave him another in her stead."
This gives me really strong wedding planning flashbacks to myself and every other woman that I've helped plan weddings for mm-hmm. in my life, because it's been I think I've only been to like two or three weddings that have not taken place in a church or been performed by a traditional Christian pastor. And for me, I know it was very important for my grandparents that I get married by a reverend or a pastor. So I didn't get married in a church, but I wanted to respect my grandparents, so we had a pastor marry us. Mm-hmm. But I remember sitting down with him and being like, "I will not stand for any type of rhetoric that says I come from him, that I will serve him. Don't tell me what to do."
That's the number one rule with Taylor.
We should have named our podcast "Don't Tell Me What to Do."
We'll have a spinoff one day down the road.
"Don't Tell Me What to Do."
Yes.
I think it's important for us now to, like, understand the text at that point versus a modernization of the religion.
Yes. I think it's a rhetoric that sometimes is thrown about a little willy-nilly that can be off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
But in this context,
right,
an ancient text, it is what... Listen, we've come a long way.
Yeah. Like, my pastor, my entire wedding, I don't know what to call it, wedding speech? That's not right.
Your vows.
That's not what we...
But so like you what tell each other.
Yeah, but what my pastor was saying, like, to the to everybody there, it was all about, like, Dementors. Like,
it was very nerdy and beautiful.
It was very nerdy, and he did such a good job.
There are many photos of me ugly sobbing at your wedding.
I love it. I heard Jenny, like, cry.
It was so beautiful.
Sorry, correction. It wasn't Reggie. It was Regan. Sorry, they're brothers.
Good job, Regan.
Good job, Regan. Thanks, friend.
So.
You probably don't listen to this because demons and stuff, well, but.
So, listen, demons can be a little spoopy. So, God, mm-hmm. in this context, he's all-knowing, altruistic, multidimensional being that he is, certainly could not have made a mistake.
Sure, sure, sure.
Right? There's, why would he contradict himself? Because it would unravel the whole story of God.
Right.
So, this is where Lilith is born. Lilith was the first incarnation of Adam's wife.
Mm-hmm.
The OG. They were pulled from the primordial sludge by the creator. She left the Garden of Eden after she refused to become subservient to him and would not return after she had coupled with the Archangel Samael. Does that mean anything to you, that name?
No.
He is a reiteration of Satan, the devil.
Okay.
So she left. She was like, I don't want to do the dishes tonight. You wash you do the banana leaves. I don't want to wear banana leaves. and left the Garden of Eden and saw some hot archangel. And she was like, what up?
That's my type.
That's my type. That's my type. She refused to return, and she fled to the barren land surrounding their garden, and God pulled Eve from Adam's body. Adam is said to be perfect until he recognizes either his sin or Cain's fratricide that is the cause of bringing death into the world.
That's the problem, that men are told that they're perfect from the day that they're born.
God, and y'all are not.
No.
I love you, and you guys are so valuable to me.
Kind of wish I was a lesbian, though.
I mean, the fact that I'm attracted to men at all is proof that sexuality is not a choice.
It's not.
So, side note. So he realizes that there's sin in the world, either from himself or his son, Cain. He then separates himself from the holy Eve, and he sleeps alone. This is very important. He sleeps alone for 130 years.
That's a long time.
That's a long-ass time.
Long time to be celibate, my friend.
Oh, buddy. I'm like... What? Future Taylor edited that out. Never mind.
You didn't even get very far into that sentence.
My brain knew what I was going to say, and I had to shut it down. So during this time, it's referred to as Pisna. Either an alternate name for Lilith or a daughter of hers comes and desires his beauty and perfection and seduces him against his will in his sleep. She impregnates herself with his seed and gives birth to multitudes of jinns and demons. And if you don't know about jinns, they are kind of like the birth point of the whole genie in a bottle mythology.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, so they're another type of demon. And the first of them, the first offspring, was named Agrimas.
Ooh, pretty.
Beautiful name for a demon.
Yeah, love that.
So this is where the demon fun begins.
I remember Lara was asking me what we should name Claire before she was born, and I said...
Oh, God.
I said Maleficent. Because I thought it was pretty. I was 11. I didn't know that it meant, like, evil. And I was like, we could call her Melly.
Oh, my God. Our little sweet bean Claire nugget.
Melly. Sorry, babe.
I'm so glad your name is Claire and not Maleficent. Okay. So... Lilith is out in the barren deserts, mm-hmm. doing her thing. She bears demons in every corner of the world.
Yeah, friend.
She gets a flavor of reducing men in their sleep and stealing their seed. She feeds off of it, steals it away in nocturnal emissions.
Sorry, I probably shouldn't be rooting for her.
It makes you want to, though. So she impregnates herself with swaths of incubi and succubi and various demons, all officially classified in the vampiric subclass. I love that we classify demons, by the way. I think. And
like animals, like mammals.
Yeah. The Vatican does it. Like, if you're not going to believe any, like, regular, like, authority, like, the Vatican classified these demons. So.
Gotta believe the Vatican.
You gotta believe the Vatican. I just started to say gotta and got to, whatever. So, Estries is another type of this demon. They are female vampires of Jewish folklore that were believed to prey on Hebrew citizens. Estries and succubi were both said to be able to appear as humans or in spirit form at will, but Estries were also described as able to turn into birds or cats and various other animals. If a man is sleeping alone, as Adam did for 130 years, Lilith, or one of her evil offspring, will appear to him in splendid beauty, cloaked in nothing but long, beautiful hair, and seduce him to steal his manly seed before sealing away into the night to give birth to a whole new generation.
You know, a man wrote this because they were like, I can't help it.
She's like, will you quit coming in the bed? And he's like, I can't stop. It's Lilith. She comes to me. I she can also, and this is going back to the Azu bird and its young.
Dragon.
Yes, dragon. And its baby. Its egg that laid, that hatched, and then it carried it away.
Narwhal.
It can also, Lilith, can also seduce and prey upon fertile, ovulating, or pregnant women.
Ooh,
indeed. She is said to sour the unborn babies in their mother's womb, forcing them to deliver tormented souls already promised to the gates of hell.
That's how we get serial killers.
That's how you get, it's Lilith. She is said to be present in every miscarriage or in the marriage of couples who cannot conceive. And it is said that the man allowed her into the marriage.
Oh, that made me sad.
Yeah, it's incredibly sad. It's a story about a being that is used to rationalize something very tragic and devastating.
Biologically.
To women and men everywhere. Mm-hmm.
But that's all of folklore. It's all meant to rationalize something that we can't understand.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, it's how much stock do you put into these stories? I personally find it hard when every creation story that there is references back to
the same thing.
Right. It just shows that, like, the human condition is, like, a very pervasive thing that everybody from the beginning of time has experienced and tries to find a way to rationalize. So I'm about to read you an excerpt from the Zohar.
Okay.
Which is a foundational work in the literature of Jewish mystical thought known as the Kabbalah. I mentioned that earlier, but I don't think I explained it. Describing the remedy against Lilith in the hour in which a man copulates with his wife. Quote, he should concentrate in his head on the holiness of his master and say this. Oh, you who are wrapped in velvet, you have appeared. Release, release. Neither come nor go. Neither you nor yours. Go back, go back. The sea is raging. Its waves call you. I hold on to the Holy One. Wrap myself in the King's holiness. Then let him cover his head and his wife for 1 hour. And do thus each time for 3 days of the receiving. For a drafting which is not received within 3 days will not be received at all.
Okay.
So it's something to do with, like, that time frame they're supposed to meditate on what they did and try to help, like, mentally manifest
a baby.
A pregnancy is...
Right.
Yeah. It's even in this, like, old as shit folklore that at the very basis they have some kind of knowledge on the scientific side of how... like, impregnation works.
Right.
So, the story of Lilith is not the only story that religious texts, folklores, legends, song, art that can kind of be used to depict the wicked ways of women. Mm-hmm. She was kind of just the first. She was the springboard for a whole mess of misogyny that we get to deal with later. The treachery that she committed against man by her unwillingness to submit as a slave would to a master has damned her for millennia. Mm-hmm. She's really been a focal point in other religious texts as to why women should be subservient to men and why men know better, and because we're inherently flawed because the first evil came from women.
I remember back in high school, my high school librarian, and I'm realizing now where my, like, don't tell me what to do, like, mantra has come from. My librarian, who is...
Hi, Mrs. Dan.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. But way back when, I remember her being like, Lord, help the man that tells me what to do. And as, like, a 16-year-old being, like, very impressionable and having this strong
will,
smart mm-hmm. woman, like
capable, responsible.
It has the funniest whipped sense of humor. And I just remember, like, taking that in and being like, I hope a man knows that he can't tell me what to do. Like, the demon Lilith resides inside Mrs. Dan.
I would like to think that the demon Lilith resides in all of us. She really is. She's like a stake in the ground.
She was the first feminist.
She was the first feminist. She was the first badass who told a man, like, go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. No. I don't want to hang out with you in some dumb garden. Yeah. I'm going to go fly on the back of a dragon and see the desert.
Ugh, girl, same.
Yeah. I'm going to go bang hot archangels that I find. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. Let me do what I want to do.
Right. So then they villainized her for the rest of time. And that leads me into this next, like, little list of things. I'm about to read you a whole bunch of stuff.
I will try not to interrupt.
Of Lilith. This isn't going to be as boring as, like, old ancient texts.
I like this old ancient texts.
I know you do. I thought you would like this. So these are things that, like, Lilith in modern times has been in.
Yeah, yeah.
You already mentioned True Blood.
Yes.
Also the Queen of the Damned in 30 Days of Night.
Oh, love.
In the Chronicles of Narnia, what you don't know is the White Witch in the book is her direct descendant.
Amazing.
Travis Scott, if you know him. Mm-mm. I think, is he the one who had a baby with Kylie Jenner?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's something. He's some singer dude. But his debut mixtape, Owl Pharaoh,
okay,
makes references to Lilith.
Sweet.
The character Lilu in the movie The Fifth Element.
Hmm.
It's a futuristic fantasy. Have you seen it?
A long time ago.
It's one of my favorite movies. It's a futuristic fantasy. It turns the concept of Lilith on its head by saving humanity instead of devouring it. Lilu is depicted as fair-skinned and with strawberry blonde hair, such as the art of Lilith that came about in, like, the Romantic period. Young in life, identical to Romantic era paintings, Lilu is represented as the original woman, the first wife of Adam, and in the movie is born speaking Aramaic, which is the language from way back in the day when this TV series, Supernatural, the 2009 film Evil Angel. Have you seen that?
Nope.
We're going to make a movie I've seen and you haven't?
Whoa. End everything now.
Wild. There's an album, The Night God Slept by Silent Planet. There's references to the myth of Lilith, the Talmud, and discusses feminism via a conversion between Lilith, Eve, and Adam. She's a character in Darksiders and Darksided 2.
Sweet.
Yeah. She's a character in, this is my nerd coming out, I mean, like, Devil May Cry.
Huh?
No? Is it Vinny? No. She's a character in Devil May Cry. She's, like, the mistress of, like, the main bad guy. You have to fight her.
Sweet.
The boss and her, like, shitty kid. Now, Lilith is a symbol for Jewish feminists. She's a woman who's demonized and bears the brunt of people's hatred for women who will not concede, won't bend their knee to power-hungry men and gods. And honestly, I think we could all learn a little bit from Lilith. that maybe all of the horrible, awful things that you've been told about somebody could perhaps just be rhetoric.
Yeah.
To keep a certain status quo in power.
Yeah.
So.
Keep a certain power trip happening.
I think she's a badass. I hope you think she's a badass. I know this was long as hell and I'm so sorry, but this is still, like, this is still the very watered down version of Lilith. And I was like, but I have to talk about, like, all the Miss Rushem that, like, mention her. And it's, she's so close to my heart because she is the first women's rights advocate.
Yeah.
That we have.
She brings us joy.
Oh, she makes my heart feel so full. She's an icon.
Lilith is our mascot.
I want to give men nightmares. I hope in my, like, when I die and I meet the creator of the universe, I want to check my stats.
Oh, yeah.
On how many nightmares I have given men.
Ooh.
I hope it's plentiful. I love that. Yeah.
I probably don't give people nightmares.
You can be very scary.
I hope I can be.
You know that scene in The Little Mermaid where Ursula turns from Vanessa into the giant octopus?
Yeah.
You go from 0 to 100 very quick.
I do. Yeah. And I've been told that even in like middle school and high school, there was a joke going around that would be like, Taylor can walk around in a field of daisies and everything is lovely and fine, and then I come out with a blowtorch when I'm mad.
And it's on fire.
Set fire to the daisies, but then within like 30 seconds, I can make everybody forgive me and make all the daisies grow.
You're Hades when his head explodes into fire.
I use that gif all the time. I'm cool. I'm fine. I'm cool. I'm cool.
That's you. That is such an apt description.
Yep.
I love it. Meanwhile, me, I'm more like Lilith. I very much live in the gray area.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I'm always a little full of love, but also a little hateful. It's a balance. It works well for
you've
me.
You've got some thorns. You've got to, like, figure out how to, like, hold you carefully.
Yes. Otherwise, I will make you bleed.
Not delicate like a flower.
Delicate like a bomb. And with that, we leave you.
Yeah. So go rate us on the things. I think you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen to us.
Go find us on the, what'd you say, the Sochmeads?
The Sochmeads.
I hate it, so it makes my skin crawl.
You said it.
I haven't been able to get it out of my head.
That's why you hate it.
It was like 2 weeks ago. Go find us on the Sochmeads. Slide into my DMs if you have like hate mail to send me.
Please don't though, because I will cry.
You just listen.
I'm a sensitive person.
If you have negative, nasty things to say, just send it directly to me.
Yeah, send them to Jenny. Please don't send them to me.
I can so easily just in my heart and soul tell you to like go away.
I can't.
Taylor will get her feelings hurt and she's a sweet baby angel and we need to protect her.
I will take it very personally. I cannot be held responsible for my actions if I cry.
You can be mean to me and me and my friends will just like read your messages and laugh at you at night over a couple bottles of wine. But I'm sure you love it. That's why you're still here.
Right. If you made it to all 55 minutes of this, then you've done a real good job.
I'm very proud of you. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you like the podcast.
Keep listening.
If you have any ideas for listener stories, if you have like cool folklore or spooky stories, send them to us.
Yeah. We have a Gmail account. If you want to send us an email, it's alittlebitgrim@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, alittlebitgrimpod.
Twitter, alittlebitgrim1.
Yeah. But yeah, go follow us. Join our Facebook group. There's a lot of fun in there. A lot of like-minded folk.
A lot of memes. That's the best. We know. Listen, don't join the Facebook group for us. Join it for the memes.
Yes. Yes.
So I hope you have a good day.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your day at work.
Or the bathtub.
Yeah. Go where do else something do people, good.
Oh, I hope. Or maybe you're cleaning your kitchen.
Ooh, I do that a lot.
I do too. I like podcasts. To binge podcasts while I clean.
We hope everything is sparkly.
And not a little bit grim.
No. Goodbye.